is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hi, this is Tim Hoyer from 180 Coaching, and you're listening to Hoop Heads Podcast.
Hey, Hoop Heads. Wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and they truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoop Heads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Also, make sure to check out the new Dr. Dish Home Machine, which is perfect for these crazy times when gyms and schools are closed. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoop Heads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today. Hello, and welcome to the Hoop Heads podcast. It's Mike Linsing here with my co-host, Jason Sunkel. And tonight, we are tipping off at 8:30 on a Tuesday.
2 weeks
night.
In a row, Mike. Yeah.
2 weeks in a row, early. So let's get right to it with the NBA in the bubble.
Yeah, you know, living their best life. I have to say, Mike, finding the Twitter account, and I have to give a shout out to my friend Mike Mozeleski for recommending the Twitter account, the NBA Bubble Life, because that is the first Twitter account every single time I open Twitter. I go and look and see what the heck's going on. It is so much fun.
Do we know who's responsible for that site yet?
No, it's some rando guy. I don't know. I think he's just pulling all the content from that he finds across the NBA. I mean, he's not – none of it's his original content. He's the one that kind of just started it. But he did get – he is already getting lots of play. Whoever it is getting lots of play because, like, all the ESPN shows have been using his videos and his tweets. Like, the players like J.J. Redick. I'm sure you saw the J.J. Redick and Myers Leonard –
for sure.
Shotgunning of beers in the bubble. And Myers Leonard needed his Coors Light. He wasn't going to drink the other stuff. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, I saw that.
Anyways, I'm really enjoying the Twitter account. And I think I hope it continues like as long as this goes. I'm really
that's
enjoying
a full,
it.
That's a full-time job for Mr. Bubble Life, whoever he is.
Listen, he's probably unemployed right now. I mean, let's be honest. This is not the best time to have a job. It is a good time to have a job, but it's a lot of people that are currently out of work. So maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe it's Kevin Durant. Who knows?
Maybe.
Could be. Kevin Durant, and I wouldn't put it past him.
Could be a player on the could be an inside job. Could be Adam Silver. Who knows?
Yeah. Here's what I'm most surprised with, Mike. I'm most surprised that all these guys have been fishing. Because when I saw fishing, I was like, who's going to go fishing? Like, that was
there have been a lot of people fishing. I agree.
Like, way more fishing than golfing, at least from what I – at least maybe there's more people just doing videos of fishing and not as many people videoing golf. But I feel like I've seen way more content on the fishing aspect of things than I have of golfing.
I have to say fishing would be very low on my list of activities I'd be looking to do.
Boban looks like he's having a good time fishing.
It's all right, hey.
You
got to do what you got to do. Look, they're there 24 hours a day with maybe an hour and a half of practice and maybe some rehab built in. And then the rest of the time, there's not a whole heck of a lot to do. So more power to you. You want to fish. You want to play shuffleboard. You want to
– there's been lots of video gaming.
Whatever. Yeah, lots of video games. You want to Twitch or whatever. Good for you.
Oh, Mike, I didn't even know you knew what Twitch was.
I really don't know what it is. Is that where you just watch people play video games?
Yeah, you watch people play video game.
I got to say that sounds like a lot of fun. I got to start doing. I got to start doing some more of that because you know, I really feel like that's a very very productive use of your time. And since I have so much free time on my hands at all times, I can't just. I think I'm going to start getting into Twitch for sure.
Well, listen, hey, President Trump got banned from Twitch. Because they said he violated terms of service.
Which was what? What was he doing?
Well, they were broadcasting his speeches, and they classified his speeches as hate speech.
Oh, all right. He violated their algorithms, so I get it.
But anyways, I'm really enjoying the Twitter account. I really hope. Did you get a chance to check out Matisse Thybulle's Instagram video thing or no?
Yeah, I watched it. Yeah, I did watch it.
So he put out part two today. I have not watched it yet. But I enjoyed that. I thought it was cool. It definitely gave you more inside look at what the process was like to go through. Your thought on what did you think of the video?
What about J.R. Smith's? I like J.R.'s video where he's just complaining about everything and just
listen. He should be happy. He has a job. What is he doing?
I don't know. Hey, he's going to have an important job.
Oh, very yeah, important. Great. Job. Look at that transition, Mike. That's a perfect
very
transition.
Important. Very important. I like Thybulle's video. I mean, again, it gives you a window into what's going on inside and a good idea. I'm surprised that more guys, and maybe they are just behind the scenes. I think you're going to see this slew and rash of, I don't know if you even call them documentaries, but just player content once this thing is over, or maybe even before it's over, of guys just posting things that are going on in there. It would be so interesting. You're never going to be able to get all the full story of what is happening behind the scenes and who's hanging out with who and who's friends with who and who starts to get along with who makes new friendships and what super teams are being forged here in these days where everybody's sitting around all the time. 2-3 years from now, we're going to see who's playing with Giannis, where are they playing. And there's just so many interesting subplots that are going to come out of here.
Yeah. Yeah, I was going to say, did you get a chance to listen to the Low Post?
I did. I listened to
the whole thing. So the ESPN reporter on there, I think it was Malika Ant. Was it Malika?
Yes, I believe it's Andrews, right?
Yeah, Malika Andrews. So she was talking about how the press, you know, the press can go in with the players. She's seen a lot of players. Like, obviously, they're in their hotels based on their records. So they're not, like, LeBron's not in the same hotel as all the players. But just seeing, like, I can't remember who she said she saw Donovan Mitchell eating with. And I'm like, God, this is perfect for tampering. God, this is ripe for tampering. Like, if you thought the Olympics when there's 20 guys.
I think the difference here is just that you're stuck and you have so much time. And it's not like these guys don't have each other's phone numbers or can't immediately get in contact with somebody or have their agent get in contact with somebody. But I think it's more just the fact of, hey, I'm sitting around for 22 hours a day with nothing to do. And that's where you start to just sit down and have conversations with people. And those conversations can inevitably lead to whether it's friendships or whether it's planting seeds or whether it's just thinking about, hey, what are you going to do in a year? Hey, what are you going to do in 2 years? Hey, where do you want to play? Hey, what's your favorite city? And before you know it, those bonds become a little bit tighter. They become a little bit stronger between maybe guys who didn't know each other or maybe had a loose acquaintanceship before. And now they start thinking about, hey, if we teamed up, we could really have something. So I think that just the amount of downtime that they have is going to lead to a lot of those conversations. Now, whether it actually leads to guys deciding to play with one another or guys tampering or exactly how it plays out, I'm not sure. But certainly this atmosphere is ripe for that to occur.
Yeah, I hope they do something where they're videoing or like, I don't know why they wouldn't do like ESPN does like a daily show where they wrap, like, say, what this is what's going on in the bubble. I think that would be a really smart thing to do. Now, will they do it? I don't know if they will. But
I think the question becomes from the league's perspective is you're already asking these guys to be in a bubble, and then if you're filming them with, I'm assuming you're going to have to get guys to sign off and get their permission in order to be able to do that, and so some guys may not want to be filmed. And so you have that piece of it. Then you have the case of, are you just filming everything sort of illicitly where guys don't know they're being filmed?
Let's be honest. They're on Disney property, Mike. They're being filmed already.
Right. But I'm saying it doesn't seem like, okay, we're going to be capturing security camera footage and then putting that together into a bubble life documentary 6 months from now. That doesn't seem like something that would fly too well with the players union. And it doesn't seem like something, to be honest, that the NBA would do. So you're looking at whatever they ended up doing would have to be a permission-based type thing. So there will be something. I think what's more interesting, honestly, is the candid things that the players would put out there. So if you just had a player carrying around their phone, and yeah, the production quality might not be that good, but that's where you're going to maybe see some more quote, real moments. I don't know. I think there'll be stuff that'll come out. I don't know what the quality of it will be, or I don't know who will participate. But I'm sure, whether it's during the time when they're in the bubble or certainly whether it's after, there'll be stuff that'll come out, videos and conversations and different things. And we'll just have to see what that ends up looking like when we get to that point.
And I think the other thing, too, is I think a lot of this bubble stuff is going to be like ripe right now. But in 2 weeks when the league's starting back up and we're playing games, I think, you know, obviously all this stuff's going to take a back seat to the, what's going on the floor. I mean, there'll still be stuff that reported, but we won't have as much content once the games start. Would you agree with that?
Well, the bubble is going to go away from a fan standpoint once the games start, because then the games are going to become the focus. And that's not to say if there's a big story that comes out of the bubble or something really funny from a video point of view or whatever. Yeah, that stuff's still going to come out. But the fascination with what's it going to be like in the bubble, by the time we start playing games, that's going to be over. So you're not going to have the same level of interest because fans and media are going to start to take more of an interest in the games. Right now, there's nothing else to report except what's life like. It's new for the guys that are going into the bubble. It's new for the media members who are in there. Everybody's trying to figure out, what is this thing really like? What's it feel like? What's it look like? What's it going to be like as we move forward? And eventually, the novelty, the newness of that story is going to wear off. And once we get to the games, that's going to become the big story, unless there's something really newsworthy or funny or odd that happens within the bubble. Otherwise, this day-to-day minutia of what's going on in the bubble, who's playing golf, who's fishing, what the meals are, no one's going to care about that stuff come July 31st. They're just not.
Yeah, I agree. But listen, we still have 2 weeks of fun. That's the way I'm going to look at it. We got two weeks of fun. All right. The next thing, you know, one of the first people to come out about the bubble was Rajon Rondo when he said Motel 6, or was that what he wrote? He wrote Motel 6.
Motel 6
said his Motel 6 fractured his hand because in practice he fractured his hand. So obviously there's a lot of implications, and he's the only injury that we have to report so far, right? I mean, I haven't heard anything else. He's the only one.
I have not heard about any other injuries.
But I mean, obviously that's a huge injury. That's a ginormous injury because Rondo's an important piece of that team. Is he LeBron? No. Is he Anthony Davis, though? But he's an important piece. And now, you know, we talked about Avery Bradley being out. Well, now he's out, too. So it kind of puts the Lakers in an interesting little predicament with the guard situation. I mean, J.R. Smith's going to get he's going to play an important role. Someone I totally forgot about, Dion Waiters could potentially have an impact now, Mike. He will have an impact. He will have the chance to have an impact because – I mean, I don't know. It's Alex Caruso, J.R. Smith. I mean, is J.R. Smith a starter now, Mike?
No, you still start KCP, I think.
Who's the point guard?
LeBron.
No, but positionally, they're going to put another point. They're going to put someone in. We're in Rondo's spot.
Probably Caruso.
Caruso. So now your starting lineup is Caruso, KCP, LeBron, Anthony Davis, and I know I'm missing someone. Who's the fourth
JaVale,
person?
JaVale.
Okay. I mean,
well, here's what it does. Rondo himself, the player, is not that crushing of a loss in terms of what Rondo actually brings to the table. The problem becomes when you go to the next man up, and now your next man up is JR or Dion Waiters, and can you count on either of those guys? JR was terrible when he last played in the league almost 2 years ago. And sitting out for 2 years at his age, I can't imagine he's coming back better. Dion has talent, is relatively young. I think I read where he was 29, I believe. So he theoretically should still be able to contribute. And he's not that far removed from being a functional player with the Heat. But we know that for him, just being functional as a human is the challenge. And so you're now at a position where the Lakers' depth at that position has been wiped out. And if they do have another injury, if the Lakers do run into a situation where a couple guys go down with the virus, it can get really, really, really thin on their bench, on their roster really quickly. And I think that's where the danger is. It's sort of cut their margin for error when it comes to injury and illness. And that's not a position where, if I'm the Lakers, that's not really where I wanted to be. So to me, it's not necessarily about the loss of Rondo and what he brings to the table as Rajon Rondo. It's more about the fact that Rajon Rondo is not there. That's one less guard that we have on our roster. It takes us one player deeper into the bottom of our bench. And it also puts us one step closer to being in real trouble if another guy or two gets hurt or goes down with the virus during the middle of a playoff series. That's where I think the Lakers are challenged.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think, obviously, you know, I still look at their roster and I say they still have a good chance because you have LeBron and you have Anthony Davis, who probably you could argue they're two of the best three or four players in the league, okay? I think you can make that argument, right? Right?
Yeah, that's fair.
So is this roster the worst roster that LeBron would take to the finals? No, it wouldn't be the worst roster because he took the 2018 Cavs and the 2007 Cavs, which had Ira Neubel as a starter on the roster. So, yeah, I think the team is better now. The Western Conference is better than what the Cavs went through probably in those years. But at the same time, you can't count LeBron out because you know that he's taking care of his body. But once you said, if he was to go down with the virus or AD was to go down with the virus, I think they're already in trouble as it is. But one of those other players goes down, they're really running low on players. And I mean, they're not Brooklyn Nets low, but they're low.
If LeBron and AD are healthy, they're going to have a shot at it. But it just makes your margin for error that much smaller if you're digging into the back end of your roster, or if JaVale McGee or Dwight Howard, if one of those guys goes down and the other one has to play 34 minutes a game or whatever. It's just going to be more challenging the less good players that you have on your roster and the more you're scraping the bottom of that barrel to figure out guys that are going to play minutes. If LeBron and AD are out there, you're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. But is fine good enough to win an NBA title and get past the Clippers and the Bucks? That I don't know.
Okay, speaking of scraping the bottom of the barrel, let's just shift our focus to the Nets really quickly, because another player has checked out of...
Almost before he checked in.
Yeah, he literally checked in and then he checked out. Michael Beasley today tested positive and he has left the bubble and gone home. His roster spot, as Shams reported, is up in the air, a.k.a. he's checked out, he's not going to be playing. So the Nets are once again looking for someone who can play basketball. So Mike and I are back on the radar.
Did you send over your phone number?
Well, listen, I saw Joe Harris. I saw Joe Harris drinking some Coronas by the pool. I almost sent his dad a Facebook message asking if he knew if there was a roster spot available now that Beasley left. But I've not sent his dad a Facebook message yet. I didn't know if that was the channel to go through or not. Do you have any inside scoop? Should I just send him a message?
I don't have any direct connections to the Nets. So other than Joe Harris Sr. So that's probably your best bet.
All right. Well,
it's probably not going to work out for us, but it's probably not going to work out for the Nets either, because at this point they are a borderline G League roster. At least once you get beyond their first.
No offense, Joe Harris. Success. I just want to be clear.
No offense. No, they. I mean,
what, I mean, Joe Harris is probably the best player on their roster right now, right?
Yeah, and LeVert, if LeVert's healthy.
Yeah, LeVert's healthy. LeVert
being healthy has been the trouble. I don't know. Let's put it this way. Between them and Washington, it's just going to be a battle of can either one of those teams
futility
win? Yeah, can either one of those teams win more than two games? I don't think it really matters. I mean, to me, Orlando's going to end up passing Brooklyn for seventh, and Brooklyn's going to end up in the eighth spot. Orlando ends up in the seventh spot. I don't think there's
unless Orlando really screws the pooch, right? I mean, unless
yeah, but Orlando's players are healthy and they should be functional. They'd have to really, I think they'd really have to crap the bed in order to be able to not make it to, in order to not make it up into that seventh spot, because I can't see Brooklyn or Washington winning very many games unless you get to the point where it's at the end of the eight game stretch and they play their last two games against teams that have no incentive to play for any reason. So, and I don't know, I have their schedules in front of me, but if they're playing Milwaukee, Milwaukee's already clinched, and maybe, you know, we talked about it last week. I'm not sure they're going to sit Giannis anyway, just because they're trying to get a rhythm, and he might play 20 minutes or whatever. But they may end up playing a team that doesn't care. Then maybe somehow they eke out a win. But I would anticipate that Washington and Brooklyn, I can't see either one of those teams winning more than two games in any way, shape, or form. And Orlando, with their full roster and incentivized to try to get out of that eighth seed to avoid playing Milwaukee, I think they've got to – you got to believe they're going to do that.
Yeah. I would completely agree with that statement. I don't think it's going to matter much. Although, you know, Orlando's interesting. I don't know. Orlando's interesting. So they
have some interesting pieces. If they're healthy, they seemingly, with Fultz and with Aaron Gordon and with, I think Simmons,
Isaac's Jonathan, not playing.
Yeah, Isaac, right. Is Jonathan Isaac is out, right? He's not playing.
He's
right.
He's not playing, but he's fishing, Mike.
All right, there you go.
He caught a big one today.
And you got Vucevic. So, I mean, there again, Orlando is not horrifically awful. If they could put it together and get their team, get guys playing well at the same time, I don't see them challenging certainly Milwaukee, and I don't really see them challenging the Celtics or the Raptors, depending on which one of those teams ends up in the second seed. So
another team,
and we can talk more about matchups, you know, as we move forward.
Another team that is suffering some major roster issues is the Houston Rockets, our favorite team on this podcast. We are huge Houston Rocket fans. If you're just tuning in for the first time, Mike's favorite player in the NBA is James Harden. So
absolutely.
I don't quite understand this, Mike. Maybe you have some more clarification. Russell Westbrook for sure tested positive. We know that. That's been confirmed. He's not in the bubble. But why is James Harden not in the bubble unless they're just not releasing the fact that he tested positive? Would that be what you're – is that your thinking at least?
At this point, I don't know if there's anything else that you can think. I'm not sure what the reason would be for not releasing information about why he isn't there. To me, if you're the team, you have to know that if you're not saying what it is, then everybody's going to go with the assumption that he's tested positive. I don't know what – because – what else would you be speculating?
Maybe he shaved his beard wrong. He doesn't want to be seen in public with his beard.
That could well be the case. I don't know. It's for Houston, it's obviously a challenging situation. And clearly, beyond the basketball piece of it, when a guy gets sick, you don't want him to be sick. You hope that everybody tests negative and nobody has to go through fighting the illness in whatever form it takes, whether it's asymptomatic or whether you develop symptoms, or there's clearly still an unknown about what happens with people who have this 5-10 years from now. So you hope that he's not positive, but I don't know if there's any other conclusion that you can draw at this point for why he's not there. There hasn't been an explanation coming from the Rockets, and so that just leaves us to speculate. And I think everybody who's speculating would tend to think that he must have the virus, or else why wouldn't you just say he's doing whatever it is that he's doing that's causing him not to report to the bubble on time. Maybe he's still resting to try to save his legs for all those clutch playoff moments he's looking forward to.
Well, yeah, I mean, he is pretty clutch, Mike. So we got to make sure he has the legs to do it in the playoffs.
Well, he should have the legs. He got no excuse. He hasn't been worn out over the last 4 months trying to carry the Rockets to a great regular season record. So that excuse is out the window for him.
Oh, man.
I don't know what the next excuse up is, but I'm sure he's going to have to come up with one.
Well, who knows? We'll have to see. All right. Any other rosters that are being severely impacted right now? I can't think of any because we haven't really had any injuries, right?
No. I mean, Harrison Barnes testing positive.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yep.
Impacts Sacramento if he's not there. Clearly, Barnes isn't like a top-shelf NBA star, but he's still an important part of that Sacramento team who's trying to compete for the ninth spot in the Western Conference playoffs. So I don't know. Testing now, you quarantine for your 10 days or your 14 days, whatever it is, and then you test negative and then you're back on the floor. So theoretically, Harrison Barnes should be back on the floor by the time they start playing those practice games.
Yeah.
So,
So the next thing, I guess, we'll, since we're talking about testing, the test conducted on July 7th. Now, that happened on campus. So that was the day that I think all the teams started to arrive, right? or
I believe so. Yeah.
So I'm guessing this was
as they were landing.
I'm guessing this was over a few days, but two out of the 322 players initially tested positive. When you look at the breakdown, that's 0.06%. I have to say that's pretty good, Mike.
That is pretty good. That was not what I expected. Certainly, I expected it to be more in line with what we're seeing in the general population, where 15 or so guys, maybe 15 to 20 guys testing positive is kind of what I expected, around maybe one per team, maybe even clustered where one team had two or three and another team had none. So I think for the league, it's a good sign in that maybe when the guys were outside of the bubble, they stayed protected. They stayed in their homes. They tried to follow the guidelines so that when they knew this date was coming, that they would be able to not test positive. So it's a good sign moving forward. Now it just becomes a question of, can they maintain the integrity of the bubble? And we're going to find out more about how it spreads and where it comes from. Certainly they should be able to, with as much control as they've been able to exert, if there are cases that pop up once the bubble has been established, which we're pretty much at that point or getting close to that point now.
Yeah, you'd have to think, right? I mean, the fact that, you know, they seem to be really – the players at this point, and we're very early in the process, seem to be following the protocols pretty well. They seem to not be tempting fates and going places that they're not supposed to go, unless you're trying to get a Postmates delivery. Did you see that, Mike?
Yes. Yeah, I saw that. Rashawn Holmes.
Yeah, so he got – but the best part was, who was it? Did you see someone had tweeted out, oh, you can get food delivered to the bubble?
Kelly Oubre
tweeted that, and then he retweeted Sham's tweet and said, my bad, never mind.
Yeah, whoops. Cost you 10 days. Oh, well.
So I think it seems like they're at least at this point maintaining it. Now, obviously, this is – are we a week in yet? I don't think we're not really a full week in yet. So what's it going to look like in 2 or 3 weeks? You know, as much as I said, at that point we'll be locked into games happening. You know, the players might start getting that itch, man, and they might.
Do you think it gets easier or it gets harder? More tempting or less tempting?
I mean, it's. I guess you could make the argument of a Stockholm syndrome situation going on, where they just become, you know.
You're just beaten down, or you're like, I can't get out. There's so many security guards. Even if I wanted to, there's nothing I can do.
Yeah, I mean, you could make.
But really, where are they going? Like, what are you doing that you can't have the self-discipline to stay in there for?
I want to keep this podcast PG, Mike. So
look, I get it.
I'm just going to say the dance clubs.
Right, I get it, but. Come on.
Although Florida's bars are all closed, so I don't think those are even open. So
you can sacrifice for and have some self-discipline for 3 weeks or a month or 2 months or whatever it's going to take to be able to get
this thing done. Come on. This is the same country that we can't even have people all wear masks, Mike. Come on. I mean, self-discipline. What is that?
Well, if you want to believe in your freedom, man, the freedom to not wear a mask, then, you know, it is what it is.
I guess you're right. I'm just putting it out there. I don't know. But we'll see. We'll see. I think they're gonna do a good. They seemingly have done a good job so far. So I am gonna have faith in the players that they are gonna maintain the bubble.
It's gone smoothly to this point. I think the NBA, sitting here where we were last Tuesday, what we were talking about compared to what we're talking about this Tuesday, I think clearly it's gone about as well as the NBA could have expected. For sure.
Yeah, I don't think they could have asked for anything better than what's the start so far, right?
No, in terms of the testing and most of it being negative, one or two guys that snuck out but didn't really sneak out, just kind of accidentally violated it and yet were, I don't know if caught is the right word, but they have to quarantine, and it seems like the league is showing that, hey, this is serious, we're going to enforce this. And if the players know that it's going to be enforced, then hopefully that incentivizes them not to tempt fate and try to leave the bubble.
Not only are they enforcing it, but players would lose money if they get suspended, right? I mean, if they're not playing in games, they're going to lose money. There's there's got to be some money incentive on this, right?
I think I'm not 100% sure, but I think if you're suspended for leaving the bubble, you're not going to get your game check for those games. I could be wrong.
So then you get to the argument point of, is it really worth chancing it? And
I would say no. Come on, it's not. The answer is it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Just stay, figure it out. We know it's boring. We know that there's other things to life than just sitting in your hotel room and fishing and playing golf and playing NBA basketball. But you're only going to have to do it. A lot of these guys might only have to do it for 6 weeks who are going to be out after the regular season's over. And then another group's going to go out in the first round. And you're going to be down to 8 or 4 teams fairly quickly. We're going to look back and we're going to be in the conference semifinals in a blink of an eye. And yeah, each day might drag along for these guys, but come on, they can stay in the bubble and do what they need to do. I will say the one thing that I found interesting when I was listening to Myers Leonard on the Low Post, when he was talking about just his nutritional things that he does, and you figure that a lot of these guys, and I don't know what percentage of NBA players have their own chef, but there's a certain significant percentage, whatever that percentage is, of guys who have people cooking for them and making sure they're getting the right things and putting them into their body. And so when you're talking about eating more generically when you're there, and I guess the food situation is going to improve here over the next week or so where they can make special order things and made to order stuff for the players.
Yeah. But what's your take on that, by the way? What's your take on the fact that they can order takeout? Do you see that they can order takeout, but it's only the restaurants that are owned by the Houston Rockets owner?
Yeah, I did see that. Well, I also heard something, or I read it, where they not only do they have currently those are most of the options, but at some point there's some African American owned restaurants in the Orlando area that they're contracting with, they're going to be contracting with. And I guess all the restaurants have to follow the NBA protocols and procedures. And again, I have no idea what those are for any restaurant who wants to be considered as a source for bringing food into the bubble. But I do think that from a player standpoint, if you've carefully controlled your nutrition and then you're in the bubble where you don't have that same control, where you don't have your own personal chef cooking up and using ingredients and having somebody that you trust is maybe the wrong word, but just somebody that you know what they're cooking and what you're putting into your body, I could see where that could be a big concern, where my body runs on the fuel that I'm used to giving it. And if I change that fuel, it could potentially have, again, a small minimal impact, but it certainly could have an impact.
So the last thing that is on our agenda to discuss tonight is the snitch line. And originally, two nights ago, I'd read that it had not been used, but now all of a sudden it has been used and there's been warnings handed out. The primary, now I didn't hear any names. They didn't say who's been snitching on who or who's been.
I know who Twitter thought was doing the snitching.
Who Twitter think the snitching was?
Chris Paul. There was tons and tons and tons of tweets of Chris Paul memes with him being the guy that was snitching on people. So I got a kick out of it.
Do you think it's because he's the NBA, the president? Do you think that's why?
Yeah, I guess. Or because he's just kind of known as like a stickler. You know how he pointed out whoever's jersey this year was hanging out, and he pointed that out to the official.
Oh, did you see that? I just Twitter searched Chris Paul. Someone put the picture of Will Smith from Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, Chris Paul in Orlando after he snitches on every player, and it's just Will Smith standing in the middle of an empty room looking around. That's pretty good. Yeah.
So Chris Paul was definitely the guy that people, for whatever reason, felt like he was going to be the snitch. And I think it goes back to that jersey tucking situation that went on this season.
Yeah. And they did say that there's been some warnings handed out. It seems like the primary thing that I read, at least, was it's primarily to make sure that players are keeping their masks on and socially distancing themselves and not like getting up. I mean, I saw a card game. I don't know who it was. Someone was playing Uno and they weren't necessarily socially distant playing Uno. But that is a good game to play. It's a fun game to play.
See, now that would be fun to release the names of who was doing the snitching and who was being snitched upon. That to me would be interesting information.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember Mo Bamba was tweeted. Mo Bamba was the one that tweeted it. He tweeted out his Uno hand, and then you just see there's like five players all sitting around in a circle, and none of them have their masks on. One has them around. One has their mask around their chin. So why you would tweet that picture out? That's not smart, Mo Bamba. Let me just put it out there for you.
Well, let's just put it this way. If I was an NBA player within the bubble, I would definitely keep my video and pictorial tweeting to a minimum. Let's put it that way. I think I would stick primarily with text as opposed to putting out videos and pictures on my Twitter, because you never know what's in the background or who's seeing what. And so I think I'd keep those things to myself.
Yeah. One other thing I wanted to see, I didn't know if you'd seen, is have you seen Carmelo Anthony? Have you seen how chiseled he looks?
No, I haven't seen Carmelo.
Like, I've never seen Carmelo look as good as that he's in as good a shape as he is in right now. I'm serious when I'm saying that, Mike. And I know this season I've been kind of a Carmelo appreciator.
You become a Carmelo apologist, man. You love that guy.
No, but I'm just telling you, when you get
a
second...
Have you always been this big of a Carmelo fan?
No, I haven't. Maybe it was just because I felt like he got slighted, and I think he's very underappreciated for what he is. I mean... Is he the greatest player of all time? No, but I could make an argument that he's, I don't know. Could you make an argument that he's a top 50 player all time, 75 player all time, or no?
Probably. I mean, I don't know.
He scores a lot.
I'd have to go and look at the whole thing. I think with Carmelo, to me, the one thing that the skill that's always stood out for me when it comes to Carmelo, especially Carmelo in his prime, was I'm not sure in his prime that there was another guy that I would rather have given the ball to and just said, hey, I need a basket at the end of a game. I give it to Carmelo. He always just struck me as a guy who could score in so many different ways because he had the face-up game. He could put the ball on the floor and pull up. He was big enough and strong enough that he could back a guy down and post up and score from down low. So I just always liked the different ways that he could put the ball in the basket. Clearly wasn't ever a great defender. Clearly wasn't always the best and most willing passer. But top 50, top 75. He probably falls. I don't know if he's in the top 50 all time. You start going through that list, and it gets real, real tough to climb into that top 50. But I'm pretty sure you could probably find a space for him in the top 75 players of all time. Let's put it this way: I don't know what his career scoring average is, but it's probably up near 25 points a game. And there aren't many guys that have had a career scoring mark that high over the course of what's been a really long career for Carmelo.
Yeah, I just sent you a picture, Mike, of right. Carmelo, just so you could see what his career. Carmelo's averaging almost 24 points a game, 23.6 points per game.
Mike. All right, so he's just under 25, which is, not surprising. I mean, the guy can score. I mean, there's no question that he can score. And that is what it is. Carmelo looks almost, I would say he looks thin. He looks thin. But part of it is he's wearing the tight tank top and the tight shorts, which
he definitely lost weight, and he definitely looks like bulkier than he's ever looked before, in my opinion. I don't know.
He looks thinner. I don't know if he looks bulkier, but he looks thinner. And he looks a little bit more cut, but he doesn't look quite as big to me. And he doesn't have the hood on.
Where's the hood? Maybe that's the reason. Maybe that's why he looked like he lost weight. He doesn't have his hoodie on.
I think without the hood, you get rid of Hoodie Mello and it's all over from there. You just start getting...
Well, he doesn't want to wear a hoodie in Orlando, Mike. that'd be a little steamy. Maybe.
It's air conditioning, man. It's air conditioning in there. Yeah. Hey, if you want to wear a hood while you're working out, then you're willing to wear a hood in 95 degree temperatures with 98% humidity. So
I guess that's fair. I guess that's fair.
Right?
Yeah. All right. Is there anything else that you have, Mike?
No, I think we covered most everything related to where we are in the moment.
Oh, we did not cover Jokic returning. Jokic is in the bubble now, so the Denver Nuggets fans can sigh a big sigh of relief.
I saw the picture of him
with the mask on,
the hotel or coming back.
Coronado Springs, baby.
But looked like he was still the same Jokic that we saw 2 weeks ago. Looked like he was still in really good shape and had lost a lot of weight. He's going to be an interesting player as we get in. More over the next couple of weeks, we'll start talking a little bit more about actual basketball and what we think is going to happen once the season restarts. But I think Jokic probably ranks right at the top for me in terms of guys that I'm interested in seeing where they are in terms of their ability to play the game, because certainly that body transformation that he underwent is as dramatic as, I'm sure there's not going to be anybody more dramatic than what we experienced with Jokic, although you just showed me the Carmelo, but still not as dramatic as Jokic.
Yeah. All right. So we have to end with our favorite segment. What's the percent right. that this season goes through? I think you went first last week, so I'm going to go first. And last okay. week I went down, Mike. I went down to 45%. I'm going up this week. Primary reasons why I'm going up. 2 out of 322 players test positive. Seems like they're off to a right start. It seems like it's working. The players seem positive, relatively positive. There's a few that are not as positive about things. And yes, are there the Houston Rockets are a big question mark right now. The Nets, we've already covered them at nauseam. But I'm positive. I'm more positive now that the season's going to get through and that the teams are going to take this seriously and it's going to be a legit champion. So I'm actually going to go above my first week number. I know I'm kind of going all over the place. I'm going to go up. I'm being really cautiously optimistic here. I'm going up to 60%, Mike.
Whew, good for you. That is a little bit too optimistic for me, although I will say I am definitely going in the direction of this last week has been nothing but positive for the league and for the opportunity that they have in front of them to maybe get this thing done and have us crown a legitimate champion come October. So I was previously at 40%, which is where I've sort of been as this whole thing has led up towards entering the bubble. And now after 1 week, I'm going to go up a little bit and say we're creeping up to 45%. So I still think that there's a lot of things that can go wrong. There's still a lot of outside Disney employees and people that are coming into spaces where players are occupying that space, where once it gets in, can they contain it if it does? So I would say the odds are still against us completing it successfully, but I'm going to bump the odds up to 45%.
I have a question, Mike. I know okay. we talked about this being like a legitimate, but if you have a player, a big name player, I'm not going to say LeBron because I don't want to even put that hex on him, but if you have a big name player, I'm going to put Jason Tatum on there or like not one of the superstars, but you have a big name player that impossibly will impact the series and they like break their hand. You're not going to count that against the legitimacy of the champion. You're only going to count it if it's COVID related, right? Because we can't,
right.
Because I think if we talk about injuries, that could happen any year, right? I mean,
it's just, you look at last season and were the Toronto Raptors a legitimate NBA champion?
Obviously, technically.
Obviously they were, but if you wanted to, quote, asterisk that championship, you certainly could, where the Warriors are missing two of their three for sure, best players. So, yeah, if a guy goes down with a torn ACL or the Rondo hand injury, to me, those are things that I would discount when it comes to are we crowning a legitimate champion. If a guy is really are getting injured, that's part of the game. I think I'm looking at it from a COVID-19 related situation. Is that what's going to impact and have a negative situation with the whole playoffs and which teams are going to end up being affected by it? So yeah, I don't think injuries, I'm not factoring injuries into my percentages as I'm looking at how we're going to play this thing out.
Yeah. We'll have to see. I'm optimistic now. I feel like the first week. Now next week I could come back and we could have 50 players test positive and I'd be like, well, there goes my thought. But we'll see. I'm very cautiously optimistic here, Mike, and I'm excited. We're 2 weeks away, right? Two weeks and 2 days away from some NBA basketball. We're 10 days away from a baseball. We're 2 days away from Tiger Woods teeing off. Let's go, Mike. Let's go.
Well, it'll be fun to see sports back. I probably won't watch very much Tiger Woods, and I can guarantee I won't watch any regular season baseball. But I'm excited for NBA basketball to come back, and we'll just see how it goes. I think we have to be optimistic at this point because things have gone better than expected, and it remains to be seen if we can finish it, but we'll see.
Sounds good.
All right, so just a couple things to wrap up the episode. Housekeeping-wise, we have released so far three new podcasts. We have Thrive with Trevor Huffman out there. We have the CoachMaze.com podcast, and we have Beyond the Ball. And then this week, we are going to be releasing our next podcast, which is Cavaliers Central, our very first NBA team podcast with Justin Matcham. And the trailer will be coming on Thursday. And we hope to follow up Cavaliers Central with a series of NBA team podcasts over the next however many weeks it takes us to find the right hosts to put the shows together and put something out there that fans of each one of our NBA teams are going to want to listen to. So we're excited about where we're going with that. Make sure you check out those shows. Make sure you give them a listen. If you have ever thought of potentially hosting an NBA team podcast, but you weren't sure how to go about doing it, we would love to be able to talk to you. We would love to be able to help you in that process. We're looking for the right people who are dynamic, who can attract an audience, who love their teams, and want to dive deep on a particular NBA market. So reach out to us, mike@hoopheadspod.com, if that's something that you might be interested in. We are clearly going to continue to produce our twice a week coaching interviews here on the Hoopheads Pod. Plus, as the NBA season gets rolling again, we'll at least be here once a week. I know, Jay, we've talked about maybe going twice a week as this thing cranks up, and there's going to be so many games and probably so much to talk about that once a week may not be enough to kind of keep on top of things. But we'll see that how that goes as we move on into the season, and we'll see where you and I are with our school years and everything else and what's going to happen there. So a lot of things clearly up in the air, but we are very excited for where we're going with our newly formed Hoopheads Podcast Network. And we are just pumped to be able to bring you some great content over the next coming weeks, both in the shows that we already have existing and the ones that we hopefully are going to be creating over the next several months.
Yep. I'm excited and to see where this thing goes. And I'm just excited for basketball and just getting everything rolling again. I hope everything goes without a hitch and we can just enjoy some competitive things for a little bit here.
All right. Well, in the meantime, enjoy life in the NBA bubble, those of you out there who are in it and those of you out there who are watching it. And we will be back next week with more bubble talk. And very soon, we will be back with real, legitimate basketball conversation with what is going on out on the basketball floor. So thanks to everyone for listening, and we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Coaches, we've teamed up with E3 Analytics so you can now purchase three of their exclusive new playbooks. If you're looking for ways to improve your team next season, these playbooks blend affordability with the quality content that serious coaches are looking for. Just visit hoopheadspod.com/store and you'll find playbooks from Coach Don Showalter of USA Basketball, Coach Mike Flynn from the Illawarra Hawks in Australia, who coached LaMelo Ball last season, and Coach Tyler Whitcomb from West Michigan Aviation Academy. Check out these great resources at hoopheadspod.com/store.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.